Thanksgiving. And as I think about Thanksgiving, there's some things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for my wife. When I moved here, people said, well, who's your best friend? And are you going to miss people? And of course, I miss a lot of people, family. But my best friend moved with me. Some of you know, I met Mary when I was 12 and she was 11. Thankfully, we were not childhood sweethearts. That would probably ruin it. But we've been together a long time. I'm also thankful for our youngest daughter, Carolyn, who's home from college after her third term. And our daughter, Laura, who's in Russia this term. She should be home, Lord willing, in about 3 weeks. And then I was thinking of what I'm thankful for, and I'm really thankful for you all. I don't say thank you enough. Thank you for your hard work, for your passion, your zeal, for the sacrifices you make. I mean, you really make this a great place to work, so I just want to say thank you. And as I was reflecting on 7 things that I'm thankful for in terms of InterVarsity, there are 3 passages from Ephesians that come to mind. Paul writes in chapter 1, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you. So Paul, even when he's in a Roman prison, shackled, and in his own life, his own world is really crummy, he does not cease to give thanks. And then in chapter 2, Paul's talking to the Gentiles in the church. And of course, there are Jews who are a minority, and a lot of them are Gentiles. Most of us in this room are Gentiles. And he's saying, you know, you Gentiles at one time, you were separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers to the promise of the covenant. It says, without hope and without God. Now, that's kind of a Romans 3:23 verse. You know, that's kind of a downer. But then he's got one of those great conjunctions where he says, but in Christ Jesus, you who once far off, what? Have been brought near through the blood of Christ. And did I hear anybody say thankful? Thankful. I'm thankful. That's something really to be thankful. And finally, in chapter 5, the last sort of Ephesians reflection, Paul is writing to me, he says, hey, don't get drunk with wine. You know, that's your past life. Put that off. That's really stupid. But instead, what? Be filled with the Spirit. And then he says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then he says, singing and making melody to the Lord with all of your hearts. And then he finishes with this phrase, always and in everything giving thanks. And I'm thinking about it, always, that means all time, and in everything, that means in every circumstance. And I'm going, well, with 5 weeks to Urbana, does that describe a lot of my attitudes? Does that describe a lot of your attitudes? Probably not. But that's the admonition, that's the encouragement, always in everything. To not grow weary in well-doing, but in always and everything to give thanks. Let's just give thanks to God. What am I thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for our chapter planters. And, you know, it's really one of the great privileges for me. This last week, Jim Lundgren and I, we were at Towson, see, the universe, Towson. And we were in Baltimore to meet a donor. And we got to meet with the Newmans, who are a couple who have been experienced staff at other places. And they got married, and now they're planting at Towson. They prayed and they got an apartment right across the street from this campus, which has been designated as the state of Maryland's growth campus. And so they have several Bible studies going. They've got 20 to 30 students involved with their apartment. It's always open. And I looked at this couple. She was at DeKalb Davis and he was at Johns Hopkins. And I think, this is really, really cool. Now, thankfully, they were married a year before they started on this plant. I was thinking about Jeff Miller out here in Merced. You know, this is a completely new campus in the Cal system. It's completely new, and we're there in year one. You know, we've got LaFay chapters at Florida International University, and down here with Nick Zabrowski at UT Pan Am. Youngstown State, Katie Snyder is starting a BCM chapter. Over here at Fort Lewis College, Megan Murdoch and her husband are starting the Native American chapter. I mean, and I'm stealing Jim Lundgren's thunder, but what really thrills me is this picture. I don't know about you. I mean, to you, it may just look like another group of staff. To me, this represents 3 or 4 years of dreaming and envisioning. And this is on the top of the Inn on the Park. And here's the big guy himself back here. You can see that. I look on stage. And this is kind of Jim's brew. I mean, Jim was given the charge to run chapter planning and chapter building. We'll get to next. And you just look at these people, and I see the best and the brightest. And I think, I mean, here's Katie Snyder, who's 24, going to Youngstown State. A single white woman starting a BCM chapter. And I think that, and here's Nick Zombrowski, who we've talked a bit about. I mean, he's got already 5 students coming to Urbana, I think I may have told the story, but that he set a goal, let's have two new believers this semester, and the student leaders came back and said, that's too small, let's go for seven. So, I mean, it's just really, really cool, and I could go on and on about these people, but we handed this picture. When we were in Baltimore, we met with a major donor who gave the big chunk of change to start this plant last year, and I handed it to him, and I could see him react positively. I mean, there was almost a visceral sense of, this is flesh, this is real. And by the way, going back, if it works, it does work. These are the 12 campuses that we're targeting with money and staff. But this is spawning easily double this number of chapter plants. Easily there are a number. So the whole esprit de corps, the whole sense of where we're headed. I'm very thankful for our chapter planners. I'm equally thankful for our chapter builders. And you got to love Bora's map here. I don't know how she got all of these in here. But you can see Community College here in New Mexico. You can see Harvard over here. You can see the Four Corners, you know, in terms of I can zing you all over the place. I think of Peter O, who's an Aggie here at Texas A&M, and he's a great young staff. And he's the goal of all these builders is to double the size of their chapters. I mean, I'm really thankful. That's really cool. I think of the Flahertys. Where are they? Over here in Asheville, right here. And what's interesting about them... is that Rachel was in the varsity staff, fell in love with a Campus Crusade staff member, and then they had to figure out what they were going to do, so eventually he came to our wedding. And he's a really good guy. So, you know, I mean, in our own state, you look at Eau Claire, the next one up would be Bemidji, but you can see that there are 30 campuses, they each have a coach, and they each have an area director. And so that takes us to this picture. Here's a picture of our chapter builders with coaches. And once again, I just get flat-out emotional. I was looking at this on my screen, and I said, I hope I don't tear up when I show this to you guys. Because to me, what we're about right now is saying our main thing is planting and building, and I'm going to get to evangelism, leadership development. But this is the heart of what we do, and we're now focusing on. And we actually, for the next 5 years, hope to have both of these chapter planting, chapter building cohorts going. So Rich Lamb has been deeply involved in this, and Kim Anderson deserves a lot of credit for putting conceptually together. So I'm very thankful about the chapter building that's going on. Of course, we're thankful about evangelism. I've heard it said that in the last 30 years, we've never seen a harvest like this. I mean, we are in a period of time here that is just astounding. And I think what in part happened, as I talked with Terry, is that we have 28% of our students who were not Christian coming to our chapter, self-identified. And now we're asking them. I mean, it's probably that simple. But because InterVarsity is perceived as a safe place for seekers, and when you combine that with the ask, we're seeing the fruit. And, of course, the other piece of it is, who knows what the Spirit is doing? I mean, so much of this, I mean, it's way beyond human explanation what God is doing. At UCSD, this is an amazing story to me. They had their opening new student outreach. They had over 1,000 students come to a barbecue. They had 480 in their first large group, but the most amazing news to me is that 43 students became believers in the first 6 weeks of the term. I have no idea how that happens. I mean, isn't it thankful? Yeah. I don't know what's in the water out there. I want to go to San Diego because it's just astounding to see what the Lord is doing there. Now, on a smaller scale, but to me, almost even a more emotional level, is our second annual Hmong student conference here in this region. And this year, a large number of students came, and two of them became believers. And just why this is so touching to me is that when I was 27 through 32, I led World Relief in Seattle. And I remember standing on the Mekong River looking into Laos. I remember going to the Hmong camps. Again, I was 27 years old. And then coming back to Seattle, and then Hang Sao, who had been military commander of the Hmong in Laos, was the community leader of Seattle, and I had these regular conversations with him. I spoke in Hmong churches. For me, personally now, to see this generation, that I'm involved with the ministry, well, you get the rest of the picture. And I'm so glad that Europe is here. I'm glad, you know, and I just, this touches me in a very deep way. Evangelism, now we talked a lot about Oakland University and the good things that happened there and the mission that happened for a week this fall. I think it was 50 students became to the Lord. What was really amazing in some ways is these t-shirts of our staff tell it all. Here you have sort of the social justice component of the mission, and here you have York bringing the word, the evangelism part. And what was really wonderful when I was talking with the vice president at World Vision is that they really see what we're doing, because this was in conjunction with World Vision. What we're doing, there's really no better model than what's happening in bringing the two together. And Lord, may it continue. The false dichotomy that the Evangelical Church has struggled with for 50 plus years, this is a model where it's coming together, and it's coming together in the right way. Because this generation is attracted to this, but they also need to hear this. And so I deliberately put these pictures side by side because I thought, you know, that's really what the Lord is doing. I'm thankful for Urbana. I better be, right? And I'm thankful for a lot of reasons. I'm going to put some numbers up here, but before I put them up, I do want you to know, I'm thankful for Jim Tebbe for his leadership. I'm thankful for all of you who are here. I know most of them looking around, most of the band people are working. So those of you, but I'm thankful just for the great efforts that are going forward. I mean, when you look at where we were, where we are now, this was a week ago, compared to where we've been at recent conventions with registrations, it's pretty encouraging. Now, that's just the number side. The fact that we are making this move will allow us in 2009 to do a lot more, because we will have learned some of the hard lessons we're learning now. And we knew these were coming. That's why we kept staff on for 3 years. So thank you. I'm looking around those of you who are working on the band. I also want to thank Josh for the guest program. From what I'm gathering, we are at somewhere around 350 in terms of our guest program, 375. We're probably heading towards 400. To give you an idea, in 2003, we had 250 guests, approximately. So a program that is really growing in size, and most of these people came their own way. And so it's really fabulous in terms of the people that are coming. So I'm deeply thankful. I'm excited about our band. I'm excited about the speakers and the seminars. And thank you for all your program people and the good work you're doing. This is fun. We have a lot to be thankful for, you know. All right, remember, we're thankful always and in everything. I'm also thankful for InterVarsity Press. I don't know if you saw, I sent this out to the NSC, but I wanted to do a graphic here, that they named, CT, Christianity Today, named the top 50 books that have influenced evangelicals. And frankly, a couple of them on the list, I won't name them, which are fiction, which I wouldn't have put on my list. But these are 8 InterVarsity books. Francis Schaeffer, Johnson, Packer, I mean, this is like, you know, Pippert, F.F. Bruce, Sider, Little, and Stott. I mean, those are kind of like home run hitters there. You got an all-star lineup. The other two I included, even though they're not IVP books, because they're written by InterVarsity staff. Rosalind Rinker's book on prayer was the number one influential book on CT's list, the number one. I mean, that was amazing to me. And Ken Taylor with the Living Bible, of course, a longtime InterVarsity staff. So if you look at this, 10 out of the 50 are, we're a fairly small press. You know, we only put out 80 titles a year. So it's an amazing influence. And then when you add the 5 or 6 or 7 other authors, like Dallas Willard, Richard Foster, Chuck Colson, who we published, but we didn't publish the particular book on the list, it's absolutely astounding. So I'm thankful, and we've got to be careful not to get proud here, but sometimes, you know, sometimes our culture, we are so driven to look at our problems, and we're problem fixers, and we're a little perfectionistic, is that a fair statement? That sometimes it's kind of good to, especially the day before Thanksgiving, to step back and kind of go, thank you, Lord. I mean, this is remarkable. And this also speaks to our predecessors. I sent an email last week. You know, we're 65 years old, and when you look at the saints that have walked before us, we have this amazing legacy. It's just absolutely fabulous. I'm thankful for alumni, and I love this picture of Gary Haugen. I mean, this is on his website. I was in D.C. this last week, part of the Baltimore trip, and Gary is the president of the International Justice Mission, spoke at Urbana 2000, and he said that was one of the critical 5 moments of IGM's history, because it really launched them. They're looking forward to the 5 minutes that Sharon, one of the VPs who I met, she's the investigator for it. But Gary, you may or may not know, was 4 years involved with InterVarsity at Harvard. And he's an InterVarsity product by his own definition. He said he came as kind of a gooey Christian, you know, suburban kind of Christian, and the InterVarsity Radcliffe Harvard chapter really shaped him. And they're involved in just fabulous stuff. I mean, I think most of us know IJM. And this is Mark Early, who I've talked about before. Mark is the president of Prison Fellowship. He was involved with InterVarsity in the early 70s at William & Mary for 4 years. He loves InterVarsity. You look at the, and then there was a third, I have a third picture in the middle here that I took out last minute, because I'm not sure if Andrew Natsios is an InterVarsity alum or not, but I just got an email. He is the he's the president's ambassador, if you will, on the Darfur issue. He's the former director of USAID. He's the former president of World Vision International. And Mike, I think he's one of our alums, but he's clearly someone who's willing to come to our aid in terms of what's happening in Georgetown now, and I need to follow up on him. But if he is, you look at now, you look at these three guys, three white guys, okay, but the good news here is when you talk about social justice and impact on the world, prison fellowships in 109 countries. I mean, they're reaching millions of people, not only the prisoners, but their families. They're doing prison reform legislation. Look at Gary Haugen with IGM, with slave trafficking and prostituting, and all the ugly stuff that happens in the world. And then Andrew Matsios with his whole history and now working on Darfur. I mean, I don't know about you, I'm thankful. I mean, that is just fabulous news in terms of what the Lord is doing. All right, and then the final slide. This was the one I almost didn't put on because I'm a little less thankful for this. But then I remembered what Paul writes about being thankful always and everything. And you know what? Actually, I am thankful. I mean, for me personally, these three campuses, particularly these two, Superior and Georgetown, have taken a lot of emotional energy. This is a leading private school, a Catholic, and obviously this is a flagship school in the whole Wisconsin system. Just a brief report, as I think you know, it's on the website and all. With the Wisconsin Superior case, we filed suit about 2 months ago, and about 2 weeks ago, it was going to be today, there was going to be a preliminary hearing on an injunction, which we were asking to be re-recognized in the interim while the substance part of the case was going on. And the attorney, what happened is the university now has an outside counsel from the state system who's not a university attorney, who actually conceived the broader horizon. And he said, basically, this university is in a losing situation here. This is not good in light of precedent. So he has been working with our counsel, David French. And so basically, we entered into a stipulated agreement. So we are re-recognized temporarily with full rights and privileges at Superior. I am thankful. I'm also thankful, and here's the prayer, that the regents of the whole university-wide system meet in mid-December. Mm-hmm. And this outside counsel is proposing for them to change their policy to allow viewpoint groups, whether that's Republicans or environmentalists or religious groups, to be able to select their leaders based on viewpoint. If that happens, if that's a policy change to the whole system, that is huge. So we are thankful to the Lord for the direction it's heading. It doesn't happen until it happens, but that seems to be happening. We had a little bump at Madison this last week where one of our staff got a letter saying they wanted to move us down a notch to pending review status. And we think that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. So, but we're not quite sure what's going on there. I'm so impressed by our student leaders. I'm so thankful for our student leaders. I mean, student leaders and our faculty advisors, we don't have a staff at Superior. It's a group of 50, and there's a staff member close by, but it's primarily, you know, volunteer. It's student and faculty. And they've handled the media well. It's like what happened at Rutgers and Harvard, North Carolina. We have that. I'm just really thankful for that. I'm also thankful at Georgetown. I met last week with the 13 student leaders from undergrad and grad. And, you know, they're just great, great people. And, you know, you just get this feeling. I was asked the question, well, what are you going to do nationally? And I said, we aren't going to do anything until we're asked by you. I mean, we are an indigenous movement. We want to help you. We want to support you. Now, I did say that if you do something that we think is a bad precedent for other campuses, we won't have this. But otherwise, we want to, we're here to support you. And I think that really empowered them. It made them feel, because that's the way we've acted. At Georgetown, I met with the vice president, Father Burroughs, who's a Jesuit, and the chaplain, Father Godfrey, also a Jesuit, and then the Protestant chaplain, Constance Wheeler. And I think this task force that has been set up, which Kevin Offner, one of our staff, is on, including four faculty, I think is actually making progress. I think I'm hopeful that. But this Georgetown strategy will be a much more long-term situation. What we were told at Wisconsin is particularly at Madison, even by the people there, is that, you know, we can't settle this ourselves. The courts will have to settle it because we can't figure it out. And so, actually, with John Dahl and Richard and some of the other folks at Tim, we have really good relationships at the University of Wisconsin. I don't want you to be fearing that they're really strained there. And again, I'm really proud of our staff for the diplomacy and the care with which they have handled themselves. So I think that's it. And what I'd like to do is, I'm going to lead, but let's just have some open time for Thanksgiving. These are kind of my things I'm thankful. I mean, I'm looking at Bob Brown, I'm looking at a lot of other people, things I should be thankful for. But I'm thankful for those. I just wanted to focus on a few here. So let's give thanks.